to me is like a hospital. It's like a rest stop. It's like a mini vacation. It is like school. It's all of that stuff for us to respond to be a recipient of the grace of the Lord as He would speak to us, as He teaches how to draw closer together, as He would speak to us on what is our personal job and responsibility before Him, how we ought to pray for the things concerning the kingdom of God, those things that are urgent, those things that we need to be engaged and involved with, how we ought to be, the kind of people that we ought to be. All of that you can't get in the world. You got no other place except before the throne of God where you can receive that kind of stuff. So we got a tremendous benefit here tonight. Lift up our brother Mark, and we're gonna pray for him that he would be an instrument in the hand of God. And as an instrument, a good instrument, that instrument will do good work in every one of our hearts and our lives. And so pray and welcome our brother Mark Hill.
Thank you, Randy. I would like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, like I said this morning, is going to be a little bit different type service. I've got some scriptures here concerning teaching our children and along those lines. And with that said, I would like to ask people to think on testimonies they might have what it's like to have a childlike faith or to see things through a child's eyes. Has anybody come with a testimony? Not that you have to give it now, but... Oh, you did that on purpose, didn't you? No, the reason is I've been thinking about doing something that will be my first here at the temple lot. And we'll get to that in a minute. My wife has a saying in our living room that's framed. And it's by an anonymous writer. They don't know who wrote it, evidently. And it says, 100 years from now, it will not matter the sort of house I lived in, what my bank account was, or the kind of car I drove, but the world may be different because I was important in the life of a child. Vacation church school starts tomorrow morning, and I thought it would be good to think on those matters of what it's like to teach our children and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So with that said, I have to tell you that I don't hit this last note very well, but I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to sing a solo because I have been pondering doing that if I could get people to give testimonies. So give me just a second. You talk about being nervous. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And He does love the little children, and it doesn't matter who they are, what their nationality is, who their parents are. He loves all of the little children. He loves us as well. But the little children seem to be precious, precious in His sight. Hope I didn't run anybody off. Page 207 in the Book of Mormon. It's the Book of Mosiah. Kind of how I felt led to do this service tonight is to give a little bit of a sermonette and then give some time for testimonies as I've asked, and I hope that you'll be thinking along those lines. And then what I'd like to do is I would like to end the service with a season of prayer for our children and for the teachers and for us as parents and grandparents, as far as along the lines of teaching our children about the gospel and about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how I'd like to proceed. Excuse me. Things are falling on my feet up here. Book of Mosiah, first chapter, page 207, starting at verse 1. And now there was no more contention in all the land of Zarahemla, among all the people which belonged to King Benjamin, so that King Benjamin had continual peace all the remainder of his days. And it came to pass that he had three sons, and he called their names Mosiah, and Helaram, and Helaman. And he caused that they should be taught in all the language of his fathers, that thereby they might become men of understanding, and that they might know concerning the prophecies which had been spoken by the mouths of their fathers, which were delivered them by the hand of the Lord. And he also taught them concerning the records which were engraven on the plates of brass, saying, My sons, I would that ye should remember that were it not for these plates, which contain these records and these commandments, we must have suffered in ignorance, even at this present time, not knowing the mysteries of God. For if it were not possible that our father Lehi could have remembered all these things, to have taught them to his children, except it were for the help of these plates, for he, having been taught in the language of the Egyptians, therefore he could read the engravings and teach them to his children, that thereby they could teach them to their children, and so fulfilling the commandments of God, even down to this precious time, a present time. Now, we don't have the plates which they're talking about, but we've got the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And it says that he taught his children, so that they would know concerning the prophecies. And we need to do the same for our children. And it goes on to say that he taught his children that thereby they could teach their children, and so that their children could teach their children and their grandchildren and children and on down the line, that they would know concerning Jesus Christ and His commandments and the testimonies that lie within those books or within those records. And the same records which we have here in the Book of Mormon. And we also have the Bible. But they taught. And we need to do the same and take the example. The second chapter of Mosiah, on page 221, I'm going to start at verse 25. And this is in what's called King Benjamin's Proclamation. And he'd been teaching the people. And he goes on to say, And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which have been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And what greater gift is it that we can give to our children than to love their God and to walk in the ways of truth and soberness and to love one another and to serve one another. But those are the things that they needed to teach. And we, if you have more than one child, you know as a parent you have all the opportunity in the world to teach them not to fight and quarrel. Because with the experience that I've had as a father, that happens. But it's a great opportunity and it's a great responsibility that we have to bring up our children in the ways of righteousness. and in the ways of wisdom. Yeah, you know, sometimes I don't know as I understand all the wording that they use in scriptures, and soberness is one of them. So I kind of looked a little bit, and I ran across the word that soberness is wisdom in one of the definitions. I'd like to go to the book of Helaman on page 557. We read this in Sunday school this morning. I'd like to start at verse 76 and then back up. Because in the second chapter of the book of Helaman, it says, "And it came to pass that these were the words which Helaman taught to his sons. Yea, he did teach them many things which are not written, and also many things which are written." He taught his sons. And starting in verse 71, these are some of the things in which he taught them. And I think it's a good example of things that we need to teach our children and our grandchildren. "Oh, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, which shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world." We discussed that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. That there is a thought and a teaching in the world that all the religions lead to God. That God is the center of a wheel and all the spokes from all the religions lead to him. That's not what I get out of the scriptures. When I read this verse, it's, there's no other means whereby man can be saved only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And in the Bible it says, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." And Jesus Christ is talking about himself. And I hear another thought that's in the world. Well, they're good people, so they'll go to heaven. That's not what I read and learn and been taught either. There's a lot of good people in the world that don't believe in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of good people in the world that don't accept the atoning blood of Jesus Christ and that he came to buy us back from our fallen state, which came through Adam. Verse 72, "And remember also the words which Amulek spake unto Zizram in the city of Ammoniah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance." I think it's another key point that we need to teach our children what true repentance is and forsaking our sins, putting them away, so that we can accept that price that Jesus paid to buy us back on the cross. "Therefore he hath sent his angel Therefore he hath sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe because of the rock which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall." And that's just some of the things that he taught his sons. To build upon that sure rock, which is Jesus Christ. And the storms that I feel like he's talking about here are those spiritual storms in our life. The trials that we go through, that if we're not built upon the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, that we will be brought down and drug down into, what's it say here? The gulf of misery and endless woe. Because we have been taught that we have a God that loves us. And He may not take the storm away, but He'll be there with us to go through it. These are things we need to teach our children. I'm going to go to Proverbs. You need to be thinking because I'm starting to wind up here. I'm going to go to Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. I'm going to read one verse. Proverbs 22 and 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's another term I didn't quite understand was train up. Train up a child in the way he should go. So I did a little bit of a looking up on that too. And part of that description of train up was discipline. We need to teach our children discipline. The discipline that the Lord would have us teach them. To train them up and give them discipline in the way in which they should go in life. Because it says that when he is old, he will not depart from it. We need also to guide and direct our children in learning how to discipline themselves to stay away from sinful things, to discipline them in a prayer life, and to give them discipline and guiding them on how to study the scriptures and to read them and how to apply them to their lives. I was in a study several years ago before I was baptized. It was a baptism class. And one of the sons of one of the ministers that was teaching the class came for a couple times and then didn't come. And it just totally amazed me the scriptures that he knew and could quote. And after he left, I asked his father, if he knows all these scriptures and can quote them word for word, I said, why is it the way he is? And he says, he doesn't know how to apply them to his life. So we can quote scripture all we want, and we can memorize it, but I think it's very important to teach our children how to apply those things to their life and how to guide and direct them in doing so. I want to go to the 10th chapter of Mark. Be the 10th chapter of Mark, starting at verse 13. Jesus had been teaching the people, and there was a multitude there. And in verse 13, it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Let them come on up. Don't hold them back. And I had to ponder a little bit on what it meant to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. So I put the question out on the internet early this morning. I got a couple of bites. Hopefully I can read some of it. And what I put out there, it says, the Bible talks about having faith of a child and also that the kingdom of heaven needs to be received as a little child. And I ask, what does that mean to you? And I got a couple responses, and one of them says, I think that little children love their parents unquestionably. They trust and depend on them for everything from daily meals to clothing and shelter, etc. Children also respect and fear their parents and learn obedience. I think this is how we need to be in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to recognize our dependence on God for everything in our life. Trust Him that He knows what's right for us, and love Him and fear His anger. And another one just boiled it down to just a few words, and it says, innocence, trust, purity. Come with our arms open. And I thought about the faith of a little child. That they just take it for granted that God and Jesus are there. When we get to be grown-ups, we debate these issues lots of times, and we wonder, about things that children just take for granted. And I love to read the things that were posted on the internet about seeing things through children's eyes. It's new to them. And I can remember for weeks after I was baptized, sunrises and sunsets and things of nature, they seemed to have a newness to me. But they just accept. They accept that their parents will take care of them. And to me, that's an example of trusting in God also. That we need to just accept that God is God and we're not. And that He truly loves us. And He truly wants to take care of us. And they just accept it. The faith of a little child. And to receive the kingdom of heaven. It's just interesting to read and to listen to the things that children come up with concerning Jesus Christ and the things thereof. My daughter sent a deal to us concerning our grandson. And this is just the things that goes through children's minds as they went through past a cell tower. And of course, it's way up in the air. And he must have been taught that Jesus lives up in the air in heaven. Because he asked, is that where Jesus lives? The things that children come up with. I've got one more reading. Then honestly, I really would like to hear your testimonies, if you have them, concerning the thoughts that I've brought forth. And
you know, what it's like to have the faith of a child and to receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child. And then I want to go into, I truly do want to go into a season of prayer. Because I know that prayer works. And we need to hold up our children. And we need to hold up those who we trust to teach them. And I think it's scriptural, the things that we'll do here. Page 648 in the Book of Mormon. It'll be 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 12. Jesus was here and he was teaching the people on this continent. And it says, "And it came to pass that he commanded their little children should be brought. So they brought their little children and sat them down upon the ground round about him. And Jesus stood in the midst. And the multitude gave way till they had all been brought unto him." All the little children that were there had been brought to Jesus. And it came to pass that when, they had all been brought and Jesus stood in the midst, he commanded the multitude that they should kneel down upon the ground. And it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and saith, "Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel." And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the ground, upon the earth. And behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear record which heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before so great marvelous things. And we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. What a marvelous thing that would be to witness that. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us and to the Father. Remember, the children are still there at Jesus' feet. And it came to pass that when he had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. And they arose from the earth. And he saith unto them, "Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full." And when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. Each and every one of them he took up and prayed for them. And when he had done this, he wept again. And he spake unto the multitude and saith unto them, "Behold your little ones." And as they looked, behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open. And they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire, and the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true, for they all of them did see and hear, every man for himself. And they were a number about 2,400 souls, and they did consist of men, women, and children. And that's what I would like to do here in a little while, is to pray for the children, to pray for the teachers, to pray for ourselves that we would know how to teach our children. But before I do that, is there anybody that would like to bear some testimonies of having the faith of a little child and what it's like or what they feel like it is to receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child? I'm serious. I'd really like to hear them. I'm sure that, do we have some microphones? Bonnie had her hand up, but, and I'm going to sit down for a little bit and let the service go.